In the mission field, we wrote to every person who joined the church in our mission to learn what they thought were the key elements in their conversion. One theme recurred over and over in all those letters. It was this: they never really doubted the church and the gospel, but they often doubted themselves. They doubted their worthiness, their basic capacity to live up to what was going to be expected of them. They were overlaid with the kind of cultural software that defined them as not being spiritual. If the only images we ever saw of ourselves were the caricatures in carnival fun house mirrors, they would become our reality. And we would think, this is what I am. This is what I look like. In the same way, if our upbringing gives us a false definition of ourselves, and if that definition is continually reinforced by our experiences with family members, teachers, peers, and others, the evidence accumulates until we thoroughly believe it, saying to ourselves, this is who I am. So the key in those people's conversion became the testimony and affirmation of the missionaries of their true divine nature, of their divine potential and capacity to receive Christ and His gospel and truly become part of His work and kingdom. The truth of these ideas penetrated their hearts through the influence of the Holy Spirit. What happens when those with a false self-concept are consistently told that they are children of God? They may consider it an interesting idea, but they may only intellectualize it at first. They may even be unable to internalize it because their false self-concept is so deeply embedded in their minds and hearts that they don't even question it. Again, a full awareness of our true identity can come only by revelation. One young convert to the church tells how she received this witness. Quote, I was 19 when I was introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prior to gaining the knowledge that I was a spirit daughter of God and that my life did in fact have meaning, purpose, and direction, my heart was a bundle of worries and confusions. Although I felt some sort of affinity toward God, I did not understand what my relationship was with Him, and therefore I could not relate to Him. Without being able to really relate to Him, I had no way of understanding how the pieces of my life were any more significant than the pieces of a cardboard puzzle. When I was taught the gospel by missionaries, I was forced to confront the Lord through prayer. These missionaries exhorted me time and time again to pray. They asked me what my feelings were when I prayed. I was sort of uncomfortable praying at first, but they wouldn't let me off the hook. They revisited the question of prayer in each discussion. At first, I would just answer that I felt good. As I continued to apply the principles they were teaching me in my life and to pray about them, though, I felt more than good. I felt joy. I was, for the first time in my life, developing and understanding this relationship I had with my Heavenly Father. I was realizing that my life was not a random series of experiences, but rather a continuation of experiences in a greater scheme of life and eternity than I had ever known. I learned that because of this greater scheme, I could return to live with my Father in heaven if I choose to follow the Lord through the course of my life. Close quote. We are of the Father. I once spoke on the subject of the divine self-definition at the Missionary Training Center in Provo, Utah. Afterward, a missionary came up to me and asked, "Would you look me in the eye and say those things again?" I turned to him and said, "You are God's child. He loves you unconditionally. You have infinite worth, infinite potential, and you are not to be compared." Tears started streaming down his cheeks. He said, "Brother Covey, would you please say those words to me just once more?" I looked at him intently and told him, "You are God's own child. He loves you with an infinite, unconditional love. You have infinite potential and worth. You are not to compare yourself with anyone else because God doesn't." This missionary was basically saying that he had never heard these things before. but he heard them that day because the Holy Spirit communicated them to his mind and heart. He had probably heard them many times, but he had not yet had the experience of spiritually hearing them, of feeling them deeply and internalizing them. He was beginning to get into the spirit of his mission, and the Lord was teaching him through the scriptures, through the prophets, through his teachers, and especially through the Holy Ghost, what his true identity was. As I said earlier, I believe that the true significance of the first vision is that he tells us who God really is and who we really are. Joseph Smith once said, "If men do not comprehend the character of God, they do not comprehend themselves." Brigham Young added a corollary to that principle. No man can know himself unless he knows God, and he cannot know God unless he knows himself. In other words, knowledge of ourselves and a knowledge of God are completely interrelated because we are of the same lineage. Sherry Dew, former counselor in the General Relief Society presidency, testified, "That we are here now is no accident. For eons of time, our Father watched us and knew he could trust us when so much would be at stake. We have been held in reserve for this very hour. We need to understand not just who we are, but who we have always been." Close quote.
This is the end of the first CD. Please continue listening on CD number 2.